الله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، all praises due to Allah. We laud Him, beseech His help, and in Him we seek forgiveness. And we seek the refuge of Allah from the mischievousness of our souls and the wrongdoings of all of our actions. Wherever Allah guides, no one can lead Him astray. And wherever Allah leaves to be left astray, no one can guide Him. And I bear witness publicly that there is nothing worthy of worship as a deity except Allah. He is alone, He has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is His abd and His rasul, His slave and His messenger. After what follows, surely the best speech is the book of Allah, Al-Qur'an, that was revealed in this month of Ramadan. And the best of guidance is the sunnah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam. And the worst of all affairs are newly invented matters, for every newly invented matter is an accursed innovation, and every accursed innovation or bid'ah is a going astray, and every astray is in the hellfire. In this blessed month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this Qur'an. This Qur'an is the book, in it there is no doubt. No doubt whatsoever, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in His book. Alif Lam Mim. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ Alif Lam Mim, those letters which Allah knows the meaning of. This is the book, in it there is no doubt. It is a huda for those individuals who have the quality of a taqwa. And again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alhamdulillahi alladhi anzala ala abdihi kitab wa lam yaj'al lahu iwaja. It is He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that has revealed this book on His abd, on His slave Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you don't find any crookedness in it. It has no crookedness in it whatsoever. So we are blessed to have the Quran in its entirety. And since this is the month of Ramadan, we want to continue talking about the Qur'an. More importantly than talking about the Qur'an, specifically we want to talk about those individuals among us, among the Muslims. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to make us of these individuals that we're going to talk about today, that we're going to highlight. Those individuals whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يا ربي إن قوم اتخذوا هذا القرآن مهجورا. The messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, Allah says that He will say to the people, يا ربي إن قوم اتخذوا هذا القرآن مهجورا. My people have taken this Quran as a مهجورا. My people have taken this Quran as مهجور. And when you look at the tafsirs of Quran from our illustrious scholars of tafsir, like At-Tabari and Ibn Kathir, when linguistically explaining the word mahjura, taking the verbal root of this word, the word hajara means to go away from something, to avoid something, as we use in the word hijra, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Whoever's hijra is for Allah and His Messenger, then it's hijra for Allah and His Messenger. This word hijra comes from the same root as the word mahjur. To go away from something, to leave something. Why is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam saying to his Lord, Ya Rabbi, inna qawm ittakhazu hadha al-Qur'an mahjura. My people, meaning the Muslims, My people have taken this Quran and the kuffar from among the Arabs have taken this Quran as a mahjura, a thing avoided. We want to be away from those type of people. And in this month of Ramadan and any other month that comes after or before Ramadan, we want to learn in this brief khutbah today, inshallah ta'ala, how can we be of those individuals who don't take the Quran as a mahjura. Some of the scholars of Islam, like Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, rahimahullah, in his book called Al-Fawaid, he cites some of the things that could possibly be the meaning of those individuals who take the Quran as a mahjura. He cites them as follows. Avoiding listening to the Quran, to the recitation of the Quran. Avoiding listening to the recitation of the Quran, believing in it, avoiding, staying away from, believing in it, and paying attention to or inclining towards the Quran. Whoever falls into this category, they have taken the Quran as a mahjura. The recitation of the Quran is extremely important for the Muslims. The reading of the Quran is especially for the Muslim a great virtue. Memorizing the Quran, listening to its recitation is extremely important for the Muslim. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in a hadith transmitted by At-Tirmidhi, who said it is Hasan al-Sahih, he said, إِنَّ الَّذِي لَيْسَ فِي جَوْفِهِ شَيْءٌ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ كَالْبَيْتِ الْخَرِبِ. That anyone who does not have anything of the Quran inside of him is like a dilapidated, desolated, broken down, ruined house. And we're not talking about English. We're not talking about say he, Allah is one. Allah is the eternal. He neither begets nor is he begotten and there's none like him. No. We're talking about the Quran. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. And I don't want to damage anybody's fasting. I don't want to disturb anybody in the month of Ramadan. But wallahi, I have to tell you because of the truth. And the truth I must say, that if you're reading the English, you're not reading the Quran. Number two, avoiding acting by it. You read it, you recite it, you listen to it, and you don't act on it. Avoiding acting on the Quran and respecting what it states as halal and haram, even though the person reads it or believes in it. Even though he or she takes the Quran and say, I believe in all the Quran, they don't accept the halalness of the Quran. They don't accept the haramness of the Quran. They don't accept the wajibat of the Quran. They don't accept those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enjoined in the good and forbidden the evil, even though they say they believe in all of it. Even though they say they believe in all of the Quran. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Allah says in the Quran, why don't they ponder on the Quran? أَمْ عَلَى قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Or do their hearts have locks on it? So avoiding acting on it, implementing it, is extremely dangerous for the Muslims. And this is mahjur. This is something that the Messenger of Allah told his Lord, Ya Rabbi, إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ مَهْجُورًا. Oh my Lord, they have taken this Qur'an as a mahjura. Number three, as Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, rahmatullahi alayhi, says, avoiding accepting it as the judge. Avoiding accepting it as the judge. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَنْ أَنْزَلَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. And whoever doesn't judge by that which the Quran was revealed, or that which was revealed in the Quran, or that which Allah has revealed in His Quran, then they're kafirs. Accepting any other law other than the Quranic law puts a person in a state of kufr. So avoiding it by not accepting it as a judge, or judging by it on the basis of what the Quran was revealed for, as Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, said, I believe in the Quran, and that it is from Allah, this Quran, the way Allah intended it to be understood. I believe in the Quran on the murad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how Allah wanted to be understood. And also in addition to this, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah says, and taking the secondary aspect of the deen, of believing that it doesn't warrant certainty of belief in it. Number three, or number four, avoiding pondering over its meaning. Avoiding pondering over its meanings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this is the kitab. كتاب أنزلناه إليك مبارك ليتدبروا آياته وليتذكر أولو الألباب. Allah says, this is a book that we've given to you that is blessed, that they may ponder over it, over its ayat, and may reflect on it. Only the people of understanding do this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So avoiding pondering over it is mahjura. You just read the Quran, reciting it very quickly, and don't ponder over its meanings. Also, pondering over the meaning of the Quran, the way Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intended us to understand it, and the way the companions of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam understood it. And in addition to this, knowing for surety that the words in the Quran are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-kaleem, the one who speaks, that this is the speech of Allah. As the scholars of Islam, as they've deduced from the Quran and Sunnah, they say that when a person wants to speak to Allah Azza wa Jal, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a man is in his salah, yunaji rabbahu, that when he's in his salah, he's having an intimate conversation with his Lord. And they said, if you want to hear the speech of Allah, then read the Quran. This is the speech of Allah. So if we don't take this book as the speech of Allah and no one else, then we have taken this Quran as a mahjura. Also, Ibn Qayyim says, rahimahullah, avoiding using it as a heal and a cure. Because the Quran is a shifa and a rahmah. It is a healing and it's a mercy on the believers. Avoiding using it as a cure and a heal for the diseases of the heart, for the amrad al-qulub, those diseases that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to wash our heart of. And seeking the cure for such diseases from all other sources. Brothers and sisters in Islam, there are some things that we get a lot of virtue for. There are some things pertaining to the Quran that are the secondary aspects that Ibn Qayyim intended, inshallah ta'ala, that we'd like to cite. And we're citing them once again for emphasis. I repeat, these are secondary aspects. These are not the primary aspects for reading the Quran. One of them is reading the Quran, qira'atul Quran lil barakah, reading the Quran for barakah. This is very important, and this is virtuous, to read the Quran for barakah. But that's not the reason why the Quran was revealed. Because if you go to the Quran just simply to gain barakah, where's the meaning? How do you implement it? So just reading the Quran for barakah is not sufficient. It's important, but it's not sufficient. Using the Quran as a source of healing and a cure for physical ailments. Some people, believe it or not, they don't read the Quran, they don't use the Quran except to heal themselves from sin, from magic, from evil eyes, from hasad. This is the only time they use the Quran. In their daily lives, they don't use anything else. But when it comes to removing some type of disease, they then go to the Quran. There's no problem with this, but this is not the main reason, the main aspect of why the Quran was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Studying the Quran to recognize the so-called scientific miracles. Some people just want to go to the Quran to debate scientific issues with their professors, or with somebody standing on the street corner in order to bring them to Islam. This is honorable, but this is not the reason that the Quran was revealed. And this is not the reason why we should be approaching the Quran, to talk about what we think. What we think Allah is saying in the Quran, and not necessarily so, the Big Bang Theory. Or to talk about the sperm meeting the egg in the womb. Or to talk about the vegetation kingdom, or the animal kingdom, and how the milk comes between the breast of the cow, or the breast of the woman, or whatever. All of these things are part of the Quran. Or they may not be a part of the Quran in concurrence with the scientific findings. But this is not the reason. The most important thing is that this is not the reason why we should be approaching the Quran. Studying it as a source of culture and knowledge. And I'd like to add to this. Studying it as a source of history. Some people, when they approach the Quran, it's just historical to them. Just the stories.
just to find out about the people of the past. Ad and Thamud and Fir'aun and Hamun. This is not the reason why the Quran was revealed, brothers and sisters. In addition to this, reading it as a protection from the evil of those people who are against us. These things, brothers and sisters, have a lot of virtue. But once again, they are not the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala rasulihil kareem. Sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahabatihi ajma'in. Wa ba'd. Dear Muslims, probably one of the greatest ways of taking the Quran as a mahjura, as we mentioned in the first part of the khutbah, is to recite it or to read it on a regular, not to recite it or read it on a regular basis. The recitation of the Quran, the regular recitation of the Quran, is extremely important for the Muslim's growth and development, to gain that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to gain in this life and the next. If we don't recite the Quran, brothers and sisters, if we don't recite and regularly read the Quran, then something else is going to take its place. If we don't regularly read the Quran and recite the Quran, then some other book, some other recitation is going to take its place. Maybe this is the reason why we're so occupied with TV. And maybe this is the reason why we're so occupied with music and singing and other things that are frivolous and of no benefit. We have to get into the habit of reciting the Quran regularly. And reciting it in a manner that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to recite it, which necessitates learning the Arabic language. There's no way we can get around it. We have to get out of this idea that the learning of the Quran is only for our children. We have to abandon the idea that the memorization of the Quran and the learning of the Arabic, which is a conduit to memorizing the Quran, is only for our babies. No, brothers and sisters, we have to start learning this language and we have to start memorizing the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to memorize the Quran because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has told us that the person from the last verse that they memorize in this dunya will ascend and ascend and ascend and ascend to the place where he stopped memorizing in the dunya. For every verse that you memorize, Allah will keep making you ascend and elevate. If we only have one surah, alhamdulillah. But if we have no surahs, as we mentioned in the first part of the khutbah, nothing of the Quran inside of us, then we're like a desolate house. In addition to this, brothers and sisters in Islam, we'd like to cite some of the reasons why the Quran is not having the effect on us as it had on the people before us, namely the Sahaba, radwanullahi alayhi. May Allah be pleased with them all. Some reasons that the Quran doesn't have the same effect on us as it did the people of the past are as follows. Muslims today, unfortunately, emphasize those aspects that we mentioned and some we didn't mention, those secondary aspects of the Quran, while ignoring the most important aspect of the Quran. Number two, not recognizing the primary goals of the Quran. The primary goal of the Quran is to get to know who is the speaker. Who is speaking to me? Is it Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Is it Abu Bakr? Is it Umar? Is it Musa, Isa? No, it's Allah. If we want to know who Allah is, we have to read the Quran, and this is the main reason. And Allah knows best why we should be approaching the Quran, so we can get to know who is the one who's speaking. And for surety, brothers and sisters, if you want to get a glimpse on what is contained in a book, whether of science, technology, math, or whatever, learning how to fix a car, whatever, you should get to know a little bit about the author. When you buy a book, look in the beginning of the book in Arabic in most cases, and read some of the history of the individual who wrote the book. It helps you get a better taste and flavor of what he's about to say. He was born here, he studied from this person, he taught these people, he wrote this many books, that many books, he went to this place and that place, he made hajj in this year, he fought jihad in that year. If you want to know what Allah wants from you, you're going to have to know who Allah is. If you want to know who's speaking to you, you have to know who is the speaker. If you don't know who the speaker is, then you're going to approach the Quran like you approach a comic book. You're going to approach the Quran like you approach a novel from Harold Robbins. You're going to approach the Quran like it's some book from the creation. And this book is from the Creator, the Lord of the worlds, Rabbul Alameen. Not recognizing the primary goals of the Quran, as a result, the Muslims read it and they don't get out of this book what Allah desires for them. That's why we're Muslims 10, 15, 20, 30, 50, 60 years reading the Quran, reciting the Quran, reading the Quran, reciting the Quran, and our characters haven't changed. Our characters have not changed one bit. It's because we're not doing what Allah wants us to do when we approach this book. Muslims don't go to the Quran in the proper manner. For instance, and we're not saying it's haram, but some Muslims, you see them, they're lying on their backs with their legs propped on top, on their knees, their feet on their knees, like they're on some beach. This is the book of Allah. We should have more respect. And for a surety, even the psychologists say that if you read a book in a certain manner, sitting in a certain manner, it has more of an effect on your respect for what you're reading. If you just lean and lie like you're on some picnic, while you're reading the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has to have some effect. You know how you take a book and you bend the pages back like it's a magazine? Some people read the Quran like this, like it means nothing. This is the words of Allah, brothers and sisters. And in this month, we should try to start practicing these things. Reading the Quran in a comfortable position. Turn off the radio, turn off the TV. All those things that are going to distract us. Because when you open that book after saying, A'udhu billahi as-sami'il alim min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, as Allah has ordered you to say, now you're going to be listening to the sounds, to the voice, to the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In addition to this, Muslims don't interpret the Quran. They don't interpret the Quran in the proper manner. What is the result of this? The result of it is chaos and confusion. The result of it is chaos and fitna and confusion. Even though they're reading the Quran, they're not interpreting the Quran the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala meant it to be interpreted, the way the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam interpreted it, and the way the companions of the Messenger of Allah and those two succeeding generations received it from the Messenger of Allah and their teachers. And lastly, brothers and sisters in Islam, one of the main goals after the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his rububiyyah and uluhiyyah and asma wa sifat, his lordship, his oneness, and his beautiful names and attributes, the primary goal, getting to know Allah after this, is teaching the people that this is the words of Allah and inviting them to that which Allah will be pleased with, which is accepting Islam. Using the Quran to teach the people and invite them to Islam. Not the Old Testament, not the New Testament, not the Gospel of Barnabas, but the Quran. This is the book that we should be using to bring people to Islam and no other book. I don't care how successful the Ahmadiyyas are of the world, this is not the way Allah intended it to be promoted. This is not the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught the Messenger of Allah to give this dawah, and this is not the way the Sahaba, the Tabi'un, and those who followed them gave this dawah. They used only one source to bring the people to Islam, and that was Al-Quran, the book that was revealed in this month, and no other book. This is the book that has no crookedness. How could you use the Bible to bring somebody to Islam when the Bible is a book of interpolations, admixtures, adulteries, and personifications? How can you use the Bible when it's a book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, فَوَيْلُ الَّذِي يَكْتُبُونَ الْكِتَابِ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ ثم يقولون هذا من عند الله ليشتروا بآياتي ثمنا قليلا ويل لهم مما كتبت أيديهم وويل لهم مما يكسبون. Woe to those who write the book with their hands and then they say this is from Allah trying to gain a small poultry price. Woe to them who wrote the book with their hands. Woe to them for that which they earned. How can you use the Bible to invite somebody to Islam? Use the Quran, brothers and sisters. So the two main, the primary aspects of the Quran is number one, to get you to know who is the speaker. Who is speaking to you? It is Allah, Azza wa Jal, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. To know about His Lordship, to know about His oneness, to know about His beautiful names and perfect attributes. And secondly, to invite the people to Islam so that our characters may change and that Allah will be pleased with us. Learn the Quran and read the Quran, brothers and sisters. Strive to learn this Arabic language so that you can read the Quran the way it was revealed. Not in Chinese, not in French, not in Spanish, not in English, but Al-Quran Arabiya. Al-Quran Arabiya. An Arabic Quran. If you read anything else, you're not reading the Quran. If you learn any other way, you're not learning the Quran. If you learn the Quran through phonetics, you're not learning the Quran. If you learn the Quran through any other means except reading it in your face with the letters touching your eyes and reciting Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, you have not learned the Quran. This is the month, brothers and sisters. We need to review the Quran. We need to ponder on the Quran. We need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this Quran a hujjah for us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change our love, our fear in the grave to love. Allahumma arhamna bil Quran al-azim. And to give us mercy by this Quran. Waj'alhu lana imaman wa nuran wa hudan wa rahma. And to make this Quran an imam, and a light, and a guidance, and a mercy for us. Allahumma, we ask you, O Allah, we ask you, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, عَلِّمْنَا مِنْهُمَا نَسِيْنَا جَهِيلْنَا وَذَكِّرْنَا مِنْهُمَا نَسِيْنَا. We ask you, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to teach us of this Quran that which we're ignorant of, and to remind us of this book that we've forgotten. وَرَزُقْنَا تَلَاوَتَهُ أَنَّاءَ اللَّيْلِ وَأَنَّاءَ النَّهَارِ. And to make this book for us, provide it with us in a manner that we read it in the night and the day, in the night and the day, in the night and the day. وَجَعَلْهُ لَنَا حُجَّةَ يَا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And to make this book a proof for us, O Lord of the worlds. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَّسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به. واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا. أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. ربنا أفرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكوننا من الخاسرين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين.